the songs and sketches and jokes on the news. With us about the UFO blues, so meet the gang, cause the boys are here, the boys to entertain you.
My name's Edmund Pegg, and I played the Australian Colonel in an episode called Frontline Entertainers. Or I had put in my, in what I might kind of impart to you at some stage during this interview, the fact that although I'm British born and, you know, and actually play upper class English gentleman in Australia, when I came to England, because of my voice, but when I came to England, I found I could get more work if I made out I was Australian. So I have to put on the Australian accent and kind of screw myself up a bit and not over-enunciate the words, because they tend not to in Australia because of the flies get in the mouth. And so I got quite a few Australian parts, or got cast, because it was possible in those days, not being true to the character, which is another subject I'd like to mention, particularly in terms of Michael Bates and playing the Hindustani gentleman. So, you know, as an actor, you can play any role in our day. Nowadays, you can't. In fact, I seem to remember hearing of another scriptwriter, was it Andrew Davis, saying about playing a gay gentleman, you have to be gay now to play a gay gentleman. That was reported in the newspapers in England the other day, which is total nonsense, of course, and he should know better. So I might make a point of that on this podcast. Anyway, that's how I came to play Be Known. My agent would put, my name would be out there amongst the casting people, knowing that I could play accents. And indeed, Australian wasn't the only accent I could play. I played an Irish businessman in Gems. I played a Scotsman out here. I've played other parts, played Cockneys. And I don't look like a Cockney, working class lad from the East End. But nevertheless, a few occasions, that's what happens. So I got known to playing Australians, and that's how I got the part in Ain't Half Hot Mum. It was mainly done in the studio, I think, because I don't remember going on location. I have very little memory of the actual experience of being on that episode, and I had a look in my memoirs and found I'd only noted that I'd been in it. I didn't note any experience that I had from it, whereas with the episode I did of Doctor Who, there's one and a half pages of that. So I'm sorry about that. I haven't been able to tell you any details about doing the part, but I will tell you what I remember. The most vivid memory, of course, was working with Windsor Davis. I mean, he had the most extraordinary, unique, and imitable voice. And I described, having thought about Windsor Davis, I described his voice like an eruption from the bowels of the Welsh earth. It had to be from Wales, because his bellow went up and down like the hills and valleys of Wales. And it was a commanding, wonderful voice, and unique, quite frankly. And I thought that the only other image I've got of doing it is, apart from being in the studio, and I remember being in the studio doing it because a friend of mine came to see me in it, and I saw him afterwards, and he enjoyed it so much, and all that. But the other thing I remember was the hilarious lunches we had in the pub next to the BBC rehearsal room in Acton. And it was always dominated by Windsor telling his wonderful stories. And quite frankly, apart from that, I was so amused with Michael Bates' performance, because he was playing this Hindustani, which now, of course, the woke and the politically correct will not allow that to happen anymore. And it was interesting doing a bit of research on that with George Layton's interview. And he was mentioning how this wouldn't occur now. However, he mentioned the fact that his fellow cast member, who was Indian, said that he was a bit worried at the beginning, but by the end, he said Michael Bates did it so well, there was no way a real Indian actor could have done it like that. And he was the best that could have happened because the humour was there, and it wasn't hidden that he was dressed up as a Hindustani, and that was half the humour, that he was playing a white man playing a Hindustani, and imitating it, because that's the kind of send-up. It was a send-up of the character, of the real character. And of course, and this is going to buy this woke and this politically correct nonsense. It's going to destroy British comedy, British humour, because you can't say anything rude about anybody. and you can't send anybody up in case they get hurt. Such nonsense.
Do I have any favourite character apart from Michael Bates? I didn't often see too many episodes of it. It's strange in those days, and this happened with Doctor Who. I never saw what I did in Doctor Who. I probably never saw what I did in an 8½ Hard Man. That's why I don't remember very much. Because it was just another job. We didn't realise that, Doctor Who would go into this extraordinary kind of worldwide. And in fact, Andrew, I've got to do a big magazine article for the Doctor Who magazine, which is the fan club, the Doctor Who fan club. And I will be able to kind of write about my experience on Doctor Who, which is extensive, but from the fact of my memories of it are limited. It doesn't mean to say I didn't thoroughly enjoy doing it, because it was great fun, and I loved all those characters. They were out, and I have seen been able to play one of the episodes, and I think looking back at it, it seems as though it is dated. That's the only comment. I think it's almost over silly, the whole thing, from this point of view. I mean, it was so funny at the time, but looking back, I think, Croft and Perry were brilliant at the time. But whether it's a classic that will always be, it'll be regarded as of its time. I don't think it will have the same resonance as Dad's Army will have, or Hello, Hello. I loved Hello, Hello. One of my favourite characters was the Frenchman, good morning, and that made me laugh so much. The character in It Ain't Half Hot, Mum, it was Windsor Davis, for me, dominated the whole thing. I mean, Melvin Hayes was an outrageous character. Wonderfully outrageous camp performance. I like the kind of. I can't honestly say that anybody else apart from Michael Bates stood out for me. Anyway, that's as much as I can say about it. Well, I certainly get royalties for other things. I don't think I've had any from It Ain't Half Hot, Mum yet, because it's not been replayed. Not like Rosemary and Time. I was in Rosemary and Time, and Rosemary and Time keeps getting played, and I've been receiving, and Doctor Who, and I've been and also the other things I've been getting repeat fees for are The Persuaders, which I did with Tony Curtis and Roger Moore, and Sorry, which I did with Ronnie Corbett, Doctor Who, what else? Oh, The Persuaders, Rosemary and Time, of course, and one or two other little ones, but I haven't for any Doctor Who in the 8½ one. Are they going to replay any of it in the future on free-to-air or on Netflix or whatever? So I'm not likely to earn any more money from it. I probably did a Croft and Perry one elsewhere, and I can't remember what it might have been. I've worked with quite a few In sitcoms, I did Chance of the Million with Simon Callow through Michael Mills at Thames. I did worked with David Jason, Frankie Howard, Ronnie Corbett, those sort of people. So whether Croft and Perry wrote those, I don't think so. I don't think I did appear in any of them, unfortunately, because they were absolutely brilliant series. I mean, Dad's Army is an absolute classic. So I'm not sure whether I. Usually, you do if they like you, then you'll get you. But you see, because I played an Australian, I'd only get invited back to play another bloody Australian. So they aren't really Australian. They're not necessarily Australian. And you can hear I'm not really Australian, but I'm able to do the accent because I've lived out here a long time. I'm coming back soon for a while. I don't have any other memories of working on the set, whereas I do with Doctor Who. But, I don't, sadly. But I do, I've got a lot of memories of working on sitcoms, and I've got a lot of them. I did particularly not only Doctor Who, those I've mentioned, but I did a very long series in Australia with Hugh, with John Bluthal, who was with, who did work with Spike Milligan and all those sort of people. And I did a thing called Home Sweet Home, and I played an Irish priest in that. And that's been. But I've written about all my memories of being in shows are in this book, which I will show you on the screen. Not that you'll be able to tell anybody, but that's it. And it's called Forever Horatio, An Actor's Life. It's published by Wakefield Press in Adelaide, but it is available worldwide on Book Depository. And it's going to be at a reasonable price because my publishers reduced the discount to publishers. And it's also available in the Barnes Bookshop in southwest London. And in fact, it's available in any bookshop. And it'll be at a reasonably good price shortly. And it's about my experiences throughout from when I was a child through to about 60 years of being in the business and doing everything from, playing leading roles to playing, very much very, very small parts. For example, the last film I made, which is about to come in, will be shown in England shortly. I played the part of Howard in a dementia patient, which incidentally I've done twice now, and I think it's affecting me, but I will keep remembering what I'm about to say, and it's called Never Too Late, with starring Dennis Waterman, and also James Cromwell from Babe. You remember him? And Jack Thompson and Jackie Weaver are also in it. And it's set in an old people's home, not an old people's home, a sort of old people's home. And the four Vietnam warriors who were incarcerated in Vietnam come over here and in Adelaide itself and go to a care home and try to escape from it. And it's their kind of experiences. And I played a few scenes with James Cromwell and Dennis Waterman. And that'll be shown when you get a release, when people are allowed to go to the cinema. And that'll be released probably in May when the cinema's open. It's called Never Too Late. Thank you, Andrew. God bless you. And good luck with it.
B-O-B-O-Y-S-Y-S-U-A-T-A.